furlong, and it is Bodemeister and Mike Smith out in front. I'll have another, and Mario Gutierrez now come alongside. Delahan still has a chance, and then Creative Cause. I'll have another, takes the lead in the Derby and up the line. I'll have another, wins the Derby, a first winning ride for Mario Gutierrez.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, stacking the money green, with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's happening, bro?
Oh, my goodness. Everything.
Yep. Just,
I can't lose this year, Sean.
No, you can't, Ryan. And Sports Gambling Podcast, we've been on a tear. Sure, there's some mishaps here and there. Okay, yeah, you miss an under on a day baseball game. But when it comes to big-time events, we've been laying some sweet, sweet picks for you guys. Of course, who can forget the Masters, where we went out on a limb, took Bubba Watson 25-1, nailed that for you guys. You're welcome. And all you have to do is subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You don't want to miss out on this free money. Last week, Ryan, on a hunch, threw it out. I agreed.
Oh, well, let's not use hunch. That's a little strong.
Okay, sorry.
I put some research into it. I mentioned it, Santa Anita, a horse that had run at Santa Anita, California horse with a jockey who had run at Santa Anita before.
Yep.
There's a little madness to my picking.
Sure. But we were saying on these picks like this, you want a 10-25-1. That's kind of the sweet range of, hey, this is kind of possible. The payout's pretty sweet. You feel like you got a shot. 50-1 and more. You're
a little crazy. They win once in a while, but a little crazy.
Yeah, I mean but the 10-25-1, that's really where your money's made.
Yeah, and so as I spoke about, was going out to Vegas. Going to be out in Vegas for this.
Yep. For the Kentucky Derby.
So I should probably take you through the day.
Sure.
At this point, the first night went horrible. Lost a lot of money. And
yeah, I text you. I was like, how's it going?
Yeah.
Craps. Horrible.
I think I said I'm down a lot at craps. And if I'm saying I'm down a lot, that's a lot.
Right. Even if you're down a decent amount, you'll just say, playing craps.
Yeah.
There'll be no mention of being down. Yeah. When you're conceding the fact, night one in Vegas, that you're down a lot in craps, you're down a lot.
Down to the point where I knew that night I was going to have to hit the reset button and not even try to chase it back to get even. So the reason I got the comp, I got an invite to some bingo festival, Cinco de Mayo bingo tournament.
Now what hotel are we talking about?
Flamingo. Hotel and Casino.
Flamingo Hotel and Casino, classy joint. They're not involved in Canner's Gaming at all, right?
No, sir.
That's one goal of the podcast, is to disparage Canner's Gaming as much as possible.
And let me tell you one great thing about Harrah's, the conglomerate that runs Flamingo, Harrah's, Caesars, a whole slew of casinos. They when you make a sports bet there, they swipe your card. So one, you get rated for your sports betting play, which not a lot of places do. Number two,
why should you not?
No, this is the best. This is my favorite part. If you make a bet and they swipe your card, if you lose that ticket, they can print you another one.
That is, yeah.
So
I
for
mean,
future bets, that's awesome. I mean, that's a great.
Or just for drunken out of control people.
Exactly.
Many times. How many people do you think, Ryan, when the Clippers were down 27 points, ripped that ticket up, threw it away, and said, I'm out of here.
Some janitor made some money that night.
Yeah, cashed in the ticket twice.
So the day starts. We wake up. We go get some breakfast. We decide, all right, we gotta register for this bingo thing by noon. So we grab some breakfast, play a little Keno at breakfast, of course. First of all, the other thing,
there might be 3 minutes where you're not gambling in Vegas, but you're having a waffle and you still got to play some Keno.
Yeah, I'm eating my eggs and my corned beef hash and gambling on Keno.
It's like you're not soaking up enough vices, just having a 1,500 calorie breakfast. You got to do a little bit more.
Yeah, so first of all, recently, this past year, they promoted me from your standard like gold level up to platinum. Now, one awesome thing about being a platinum or diamond's the next level, is you basically get to cut in line at most of the restaurants. So there's this long, it's like...
I saw you do it at a check-in, I think, at one of the hotels.
Oh, that's the other thing. They have a private lounge with, snacks and stuff.
Or no, also, when you cash in chips, it is a funny move.
Two lines.
It's like at the airport where there's two lines, where it's, regular boarding people, and then there's first class, and then there's just, basically like 4 feet of red carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really not a huge privilege, but it's just the idea, and you just see people looking. Oh, what? Oh, he is the platinum.
Yeah.
Card.
So we better just we'll just take you through the trip chronologically. So we get there. It's Friday. Cinco de Mayo weekend. It's
so
Friday.
Wait, I mean, we teased it, but you hit the huge Kentucky Derby.
We'll get there in a second. So we get there, and it's Friday night. Like we said, Kentucky or Cinco de Mayo, and the line to check in is ridiculous. So I just cruise over to the Platinum Lounge, check in 2 seconds, go up to the room. We decide, for some reason, we walk down to Cosmo. I've never gambled at Cosmo before. Nice place. Start playing craps, lose a ton of money. To the point where the pit boss comes over and is like, "Mr. Kramer, do you have a host?" No, I do not have a host.
Are you? So, wait, this is night two.
No, this is Friday night. So
okay,
I'm starting
this is
from
Friday
the
night. Okay, sorry.
Hey, do you guys have, are you guys part of the MGM group? No, we're by ourselves. Immediately, I like that. I like the casinos that are independent. You get better comps, that, this and that. So this guy is, because I'm tipping, when I play craps, I tip the dealers. The pit boss is like that. "Mr. Kramer, we're going to have to get you a host. Let me call one." So I'm still playing. No host shows up. He's like, "Mr. Kramer." Like half hour passed. "I'm so sorry, Mr. Kramer."
Well, it's weird in Vegas. You find these – it's changed just from when I started going to Vegas. But, you know, getting stingier and stingier, more corporate and corporate,
but
crunching the numbers.
Like,
but you find these little pockets, these little oases of old Vegas, and you feel like a rock star.
So he's like, "Mr. Kramer, I'm so sorry. I don't know what they're doing. Can I offer you a cigar or something? Cigarettes." I'm like, "All right, yeah, I'll take a cigar." So he's like, he calls the cigar lady over, and I'm looking at the cigars. He's like, "Mr. Kramer, may I make a recommendation?"
He said Mr. Kramer like 25 times.
He recommends the cigar, and the lady, I'm like, "Well, how much is it?" She's like, "It's $105.
I'm for
like,
a cigar?
I'm like,
I love the $5.
Yeah. He immediately goes, no, that's on me. So I'm like, all right. So I get the cigar. I keep playing. I lose a ton of money. I go back, like I said, ready to hit the reset button. Wake up the next day. Go to breakfast. The line, it's Saturday morning. It's a packed weekend, fight weekend, which the demographic of people in Vegas during a fight weekend, slightly different. Slightly different. Anyway, so the line is insanely long. We're talking about probably 40 people waiting in line to eat at this diner at the Flamingo. If you've ever been there, it's right by the sports book and the pool. It's like your typical breakfast shit. So I'm like, oh, they got a platinum line. Walk right up and get seated in 2 seconds. So we eat. I play a little Keno. As you might know, Sean, I like playing the outside game when playing Keno. Basically, you get all the outside numbers, and you win a lot of money if no numbers come up or a lot of numbers. But every time it comes up with eight, and you win $1 or no money. So that happens. We head over to the sports book. I'm like, I got to get this in before this bingo thing. I don't know if we're gonna have time.
So basically, you get sucked into doing this bingo tournament because they're giving you.
Oh, the bingo tournament's free. So we walk up to the sports book. I put in my bet, which I tweeted out the picture.
Gambling podcast.
Just in case,
Kramer centric.
Just in case anyone's like, oh, they're not putting their real money on the line. Tweeted out my $120 ticket.
I saw that.
I'll take another.
Gambling
who,
podcast.
At the time, was going off at 12-1. I convinced Lindsay to put $20 on it.
Lindsay's Ryan's girlfriend.
We walk up. We decide to go up, and of course, Kentucky Derby's going. So all these retards are trying to place bets, and that's a whole nother thing. Anyway, we go up to the bingo tournament. We sit down, and basically the way it's structured, there's 10 games. It's like standard bingo, double bingo. Standard bingo, all the way down. The prizes kind of get more and more as you go. And game four rolls around, standard bingo. Start calling off numbers. Boom. Get a number. Now, so three numbers in, I got three numbers all in a row. I'm like, oh, I'm doing pretty well. Fourth number, boom, I hit it. So I'm like, oh, all you need is like B11 and I win. Next number I miss, boom, B11.
No.
Like, bingo! And two other people yelled bingo. It was a $2,000 game. I end up splitting it. I win $670. They don't pay you in cash, though, Sean.
You win, you split it between three people.
Yeah. So $670 I end up winning, or so I thought. $670 in casino vouchers, which are basically I got a bunch of $50 pieces of paper and one $20 piece of paper that I have to gamble.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so like, oh, okay. It's like one of those things when they say, $100 in free slot play.
So zooming ahead, we end up playing blackjack. I think we end up turning that $670 of fake money into like $300 of real money. So I was like, all right, I won $300.
Now wait, now what's the conditions on the?
You don't cash it in. It plays as your bet. So if you win, they pay you with chips, and you only lose the paper when you lose.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, we ended up winning, like, half of them, basically.
It's not bad.
Won $300. So, anyway, back to the bingo thing. So, we get our prize. At this point, I'm like, Jesus, I really can't lose this show. I just want a fucking big room full of, like, 600 people. Maybe 14, 15 people won money. I was one of them. So, I'm kind of, like, rushing Lindsay to get to the elevator. We got to get down. I want to see this race. I know it's going off, like, soon. We get in the elevator. As we get in the elevator, I see a friend of mine's calling me. Someone who I told to bet on this horse. I'm like, oh, this can only mean one thing. I can't hear him. We get down to the sports book. It is dead quiet. As if no one won money.
Really?
So everyone's just kind of sitting there in a haze. I'm like, who won the race? And the guy's like, some asshole horse. I'll take another. Or I'll have another. And I go, holy shit. And then I find out that the horse ended up going off at like 15 and change to 1.
Wow.
I'm sitting at the I got this ticket. I'm like, holy crap. So I cash it in. It ends up paying close to $2,000. So I'm like, all right, I'm coming back.
Well, that's funny. That's not the comeback. There's still more to the comeback.
Oh, yeah. No, that, yeah. At that point, I'm like, all right, now I can make it back at this point. Yeah.
You hit a 15-1 Kentucky Derby with $120 on, and you're still chasing.
I was down a little bit.
So. Yeah, that's fine though. It's hey, dude, you've had a good run. It's just hilarious that doesn't fix the problems. Goodness.
So at this point, our friends, we had some friends coming in, some college friends coming in from out of town. They, you know, we finally decide to meet them. We get some food, whatever, and we decide we're gonna. So basically, I got to break down the people. It's my old college roommate, his wife, who I was also friends with, and then another friend of mine who was a girl, and her husband also went to college with us, but essentially the epitome of, like, a dude who might be on Jersey Shore. He's an assistant wrestling coach at Princeton.
Oh,
he wears, like, the tight t-shirts with the gold crosses, like, the whole nine. And that night, everyone decides we want to go to a club. Now, of course, Sean, you know I hate going to clubs.
Right. I think there's a definite for all everyone listening to this podcast who enjoys gambling on sports. Yeah. I feel like there's a
most people are agreeing with me on that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a majority of sports gambling fans are also not fans of the club.
Yeah.
I feel like that's two different demographics in Vegas. There's an occasional crossover, like our buddy Lutz.
Lutz loves the club so much. He will let you borrow a shirt, pay for you to get in, pay for your booze. He's an amazing character.
Yeah, no, obviously the people listening don't know who Lutz is.
That's all right.
But basically, imagine
Stifler
from American American Pie, the last one, where he's walking around. I never saw the movie, but even in the trailer where he's walking around acting like he owns the place, you know, wearing a suit and tie. He's just a party guy who also is doing a mortgage broking. That's pretty much a Lutz.
So Sean, the guy, the Jersey Jew said, Gorilla Jew said, we'll call him.
Okay.
He has this hookup. He gets us into this club. The club is Hayes at Aria. So we get in, and, you know.
But see, that's the thing. I understand going to a club when you're trying to get laid.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, you're in Vegas. There's a ton of hot chicks there. All right, you're going to get bottle service. You're going to try to get laid. But it sounded like this is a bunch of people that are already coupled up or whatever.
So they're,
essentially,
I mean,
am I wrong?
Four couples.
Yeah, four couples.
Going to a club.
Why would you not just go to, like, all right. I mean, obviously I'm preaching to the choir here, but
I suggested gambling. If they could just stand by me at like a $25 craps table and get free drinks.
Yeah, or you could just go to a nice steak place, have a conversation, have a great meal, get some drinks, and then go gamble a little bit, get free drinks.
So that's where it gets better. So we, you know, first of all, these people spend half their night waiting in line, which is
crazy. All right, Ryan, real quick. I got to do a quick tangent on Las Vegas has the craziest discrepancy when it comes to drinks and the prices. You can walk or you can get – you hang out. You're gambling. You get tons of free drinks. You can walk around and hit up places. Oh, Michelob Ultra, $1. Margarita, $1. Then you can go into like a Margaritaville, pay $19 for a margarita. Or you can go into a club and pay like $14.50 for a Bud Light. The discrepancy between – like literally there's a piece of drywall separating you and the club, and the price discrepancy on a Coors Light is like 750%. It's insane.
Or say you can make $3,500 worth of bets at Cantor's Gaming and get seven vouchers for
well drinks.
So it's funny you bring that up. So we get in, and I'm like, you know, I'm talking to my old college room. I'm like, hey, I'll buy you a drink. Let's go. Red Bull vodka, good? All right, what kind of vodka? So we end up, two Red Bull Stolies, please. Woman, she makes the drink. I go to pay. And it's loud, so she says something. I'm like, excuse me. She goes, 38. And I look, I'm like, we're talking like a not a hefty, not a double.
No.
A regular drink with a ton of ice, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, they give, basically it's like an extended, if you've ever been to Vegas, the drinks they give you, it's like an extended champagne flute that's just basically filled out real skinny, jam-packed with ice.
Here's why. So she brings me up, I pay her. I leave a $2 tip, which, you know, she probably thinks I'm being cheap, but what the fuck? Like, two drinks, you know, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, what is that? That's like 5%, but really, two drinks, a dollar drink's fine.
So, I look at the receipt, so it's $28 for the vodka, $10 for the Red Bulls. I'm just like, are you out of your mind? Like, literally, it was one Red Bull, split. So, I'm just like, oh my, so at this point.
Yeah, you didn't even get two full Red Bulls. Like, so hey, point, leave that
I'm
Red
like,
Bull out
whatever.
There.
So the headliner, this is Saturday night after the fight. So all the clubs are having like headliners. Like P. Diddy was out there. So anyway, Hayes Nelly was the guy.
Oh, yeah. So, a lot of St. Louis.
So Gorilla Juice Ed Sheeran was very excited to see Nelly. So, you know, within 30 minutes, of course, all these couples, they're not used to drinking. I guess they don't drink anymore. They have kids, all this other bullshit. His wife gets hammered. Like, at one point, she's dancing and falls straight on her face. And, like, not like a timber, falls over.
I don't have a wife, but what's the... Okay, yeah. Well, no, I guess maybe it's Vegas, it's a party, but the club is just...
It's that juiced mentality. So she's wasted, and at this point, it's like, I'm like, oh, I guess we should leave.
Yeah.
So three of the couples end up leaving. Lindsay, my girlfriend, ends up going with one of the girls to another club. And then Lindsay can handle her liquor, so she's off getting this other girl wasted. Sean, the juice head, takes his wife back to the room, and me and Brennan go gamble. Anyway, cut to the next morning. We all meet up at the pool. Everyone's torn up. The one couple that stayed is talking about how awesome Nelly was. Now it gets better.
That's how you know they were drunk.
So Gorilla Juice said, Sean, dead serious... Looks like he's pouting the whole, like, just, like, grumpy, and looks over at his wife. God damn it. You know Nelly's my third favorite rapper. with a straight face. So at that point, we're like, well, who are your top two? And he wouldn't tell us, so we just started guessing. Like, Soulja Boy?
That is one of the greatest quotes of all time.
It was one of those moments where you're like, nah, did someone, is this a movie I'm in? Like, they would do in like Big Bang Theory or something.
That's a quote that just sums up the whole weekend. Yeah. Well, sounds like a lot of fun, Ryan.
And then I'll zoom ahead.
Sure.
The rest, I mean, we went to Cut, which if you haven't been to Cut, Wolfgang Puck Restaurant, Cut's Steakhouse.
Solid.
Great food, but it's overpriced. I mean, at the end of the day, it's overpriced. I mean,
you're going to get that in Vegas, though.
Yeah, but anyway, great steak, great food. We end up eating all that. So anyway, now we're at Sunday night. I have an 8 a.m. flight to catch. So our plan is that the rest of our friends are kind of leaving. They're going to see a show. So I'm like, Lindsay, let's just hang out in the plaza for a little bit, and let's gamble. Let's head back to the room around 11:30. You know, so I'm not insanely tired for work the next day.
It's always great.
Yeah, I always fly back Monday morning and go straight with the plan to go straight to work, and it always fails miserably.
You know what? We're just gonna hang out. We're gonna have a couple cocktails, lay a couple.
Take it easy.
I'm gonna go back to the room like 9:30. Call it a night.
So we play a little blackjack. We play a little craps. play a little Pai Gow. Everything's kind of even. Our friends come back. They're like, we're just going to go back. We're going to go to a club. We're like, no, we're good. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go play some craps, Lindsay. She goes off and plays some slot machine, which, by the way, she won $300 in a penny slot machine somehow.
Oh, God. Isn't that the worst, though?
So we're throwing dice. I go back to the craps table. At this point, I'm still down, so I'm going a little bit bigger. I go to a $25 craps table, and I decide to play $50 craps with max odds.
Wow. And you're thinking, okay, that's only $50 a bet. No. But you don't realize it. I mean, just in general, if you haven't played craps or if you haven't played craps with Kramer, basically, you know, every time a point is rolled,
I'm essentially playing 3 points at any given time with max odds. So at any given time, I could have 850 on the table.
Yeah, it's like a slow roll. So yeah. you have $50 on the come out roll, and then you have the odds on that. So now you got 150 on that. Then another number comes out. You throw 50 on that. Then you take the numbers on that. So then, yeah, like you said, it quickly add like five rolls of not hitting a seven. You've laid out maybe 15, a dozen bets at $50 a pop. That adds up.
So it starts off horrible. Me and the guy next to me, we're both playing big. It starts off horrible. The table's pretty much empty. I roll a couple numbers crap out. He rolls a couple numbers crap out. Next person, couple numbers crap out. I'm like, gosh, should I really buy back in? Fuck it. This group of younger Asian folks show up. Next three shooters are girls. We're like, all right, let's roll through these girls, see what happens. So we start playing, and they get hot.
Normally when people say that in Vegas, it's a sexual thing.
They get hot. And I've never seen it where each... So the first girl rolls. She rolls for 15 minutes. I get all my money back that I had invested in. So at this point, I'm happy. Me and the dude next to me.
That's the
German,
most...
German professional poker player. His name was like, I don't know, some German name like Gustav or something like that.
Ike von Royal Flush.
So we're pounding. We're fist pounding. We're getting excited. Next girl starts rolling. Because I was like, I should probably go to sleep. He's like, no, you gotta ride the wave. She rolls for another 15 minutes.
Wow. At this point, 15 minutes is like a lifetime in a crap.
She craps out. It's like, all right. He's like, one more. You got to stay.
15 minutes is a lifetime on the crap table. Because think how long it takes for you to roll a pair of dice. And if you don't get a seven, then, okay, maybe 30 seconds later you're rolling again, maybe 45 seconds. So the last 15, 20 minutes, that's a lot of rolls.
So,
and basically every roll that they're not hitting a seven, you're getting paid in some way or you're staying alive at worst case.
I probably came into the table with 2,000. At this point, I'm probably at like 3,000, 3,200.
So you went cold. Yeah. You went on a nice little run to bring it back
all the way
a little
down.
Bit.
Like when the first girl started rolling, I had like $500. So starts going. Now the third girl starts rolling, and again, my buddy next to me, he's been playing these hard ways, the hard numbers, which is basically two of the same dice, so two twos to make a four, $25 a piece. This girl starts rolling.
They're
points.
Long shot outs.
Yeah, pays 8-1 basically, 8-4-1. Starts rolling. And she hits a hard four. He's excited. I had the four too, so I rack in $500. He's racking in his big bet. He's like, press it up to 50. Oh man, I'm still.
So he's throwing 50 on the hard
way? 50 on the hard four. She Ooh. Rolls another one.
Oh, 400, right?
That I still have the
That's
four.
8-1.
8-4-1. If they trick you with their verbiage.
Okay.
So essentially 7-1.
Okay.
He goes, press it to 200.
200. On a hard four.
On a hard four. I still have the four. She rolls another one. Three in a row.
Wow.
He freaks out. We're high-fiving. He's like, yeah, you're winning so much money. I'm like, you're winning so much. He's like, fuck it, we got to hug. So we just start hugging. We're this German dude. Like, the table's full at this point. This hot chick's next to us. She's getting in on the hug. Like, everything's going crazy. This girl rolls for a while. I end up, anyway, after she's done, I'm like, I got to go. I can't play anymore. End up going to the cashier with five yellow chips and a purple chip. $5,500.
Wow. Off of two Gs.
Yeah. They end up the first time I've ever cashed out money in Vegas. Oh, I also got a host during this time. So quick story, quick sidebar. Guy comes to me, same kind of thing. Do you have a host? And I'm like, well, I kind of do. They assigned me this guy, and he looked it up. He's like, oh, no. We need to get you someone that's more comfortable accommodating a player of your stature. I'm like, all right. Guy comes over and I'm like, how's this all work? He's like, look, you want to come out? You call me a couple weeks in advance. You call me a couple days. You call me the same day. I'll get you a room. Even if I can't get you a good rate, you come, you play. I make the room for free. I'm like, oh, all right. Sounds
Where
great.
Where is this at?
The Palazzo.
All right. So yeah. Sounds like we're staying for free next time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's sweet.
So so all that goes down. I go to the window. First time they've ever counted my money out and then wrapped it with one of those bank $5,000 bands. I think I sent you a picture, Sean.
Yeah, I'll put it on the podcast post if you guys are
I'll post it on Twitter, too. But, yeah, so it was one of those moments where it's like the best time to win in Vegas is right when you get there and right when you leave. So I
exactly, and that's the key to winning in Vegas in general. I think is having a bankroll.
Yeah,
it's two things. It's having a bankroll, and like you said, winning early and winning late. Because winning early, you can get aggressive. You can kind of, you're not playing tight.
You're playing with their money too.
You're playing with their money, and then winning late, you can't give it back. So those are the. I mean, obviously, it's easier said than done, but...
And that's the bit, like you said, a bankroll. Like, since I've been going out with more money, it helps because, like I said, I got killed the first night, but I knew I had that much money still back in the safe, and I could just be like, all right, I'll start again. When you don't have a lot of money, you end up doing that whole going to the ATM, getting a couple $100s, and just chasing it with ridiculous...
Yeah, you just kind of whittle it away, or it's like, all right, hey, I pulled out $300 from the ATM, I'm playing $15 hands...
Yeah.
That's not a good number. You know what I mean? You can't really – I mean, whether it's blackjack or craps, you need a big number because eventually you're going to get that hot streak like you had in craps. Luckily, it came at the end.
Yeah.
But, I mean, either way, you need to – I think I heard somewhere you need basically 100 times your unit to really be gambling successfully. And – I mean,
it allows you to ride the lulls.
And that sounds right. Like, if you're playing $15 hands of blackjack, to really be able to kind of hang, you should be cashing $1,500. You're playing $25 a hand, you should be having $20. If you're playing $50 a hand, you should have $5,000 to really be able to kind of ride the up and down and play the odds in your favor. You're playing perfect blackjack, but if you're playing it on such a small scale – event, you're going to catch a bad window and you're not going to be able to get out of it. And that's where you're really going to get screwed. Wow, man.
So epic, it was a pretty, all in all, fun trip.
Epic Vegas trip. I didn't have quite as crazy of a weekend, though I did get together in Los Angeles, invite some, ragtag bunch of people over for the Mayweather fight.
Oh, and we didn't even talk about that.
No, that's what
I
thought.
Let's talk about our bet on that one.
Floyd Mayweather fight. Of course, we had Floyd Mayweather and the over. Basically, Floyd Mayweather and a decision. I know what you're thinking. Oh, Sean, that's kind of... Yeah, who wouldn't bet that? That's too easy. But really, I mean, when I laid the bet... our offshore place, we were getting it at minus 150, Floyd Mayweather to win in a decision, minus 150.
Yeah, you even texted me, and I out in Vegas, it was going off between minus 200 and minus 250. So not only was I getting value relative to the market, but I felt like in terms of – typically when there's a bet and it's a quote-unquote sure thing, you got to lay minus 400, minus 500. To be able to get what I thought was a sure thing at minus 150 seemed like stealing money.
I've never had a minus 150 bet that I sweated less. I don't think so.
Sean, you know what minus 150 is in the NFL?
Minus it's like three and a half. Yeah. That's a 3.5-point game.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I guess I haven't sweated it because normally I wouldn't. I would just lay the 3.5 points or whatever. But, I mean, yeah, we got burned last time we took Floyd Mayweather. But, you know, as we saw the fight and saw the highlights, like, this was a freak thing, him knocking this guy out of nowhere.
Yeah.
That being said, Cotto really gave Floyd Mayweather a run for his money, to the point that Floyd Mayweather, and the announcers were saying as well, he decisively won at least a few rounds against Floyd Mayweather, which I hadn't seen. Since I started watching Floyd Mayweather, I think one of the first fights I saw was the De La Hoya fight. I had De La Hoya that fight. This is before. Oh, who's this Floyd Mayweather guy? You know, like 5-6 years ago. And that it was – he – Cotto, man. Cotto had a solid fight. But Floyd Mayweather is just an amazing boxer. And he's not an amazing boxer in Tyson's sense where he's just like crazy knockout punches. He's an amazing technical boxer. And I think what was – it's weird to watch a prize fight and to be excited by a guy's defense, but the way Floyd Mayweather took Cotto's shots and he would just lean back and let Cotto hit his shoulder and it would roll off and they would just pop him with a jab. The guy was just so technically strong and the finesse that he handled the fight. It was the first time I ever saw Floyd Mayweather bleed. Yeah. He got his nose bloodied up a little bit. He handled it fine.
Well, that was the craziest part is I feel like in the last, I don't know, 5, 6 Mayweather fights, I've barely seen him get hit. He got in that one fight against, who was it that buckled his knees in the third round with a shot?
I mean, was it Margarito, right?
Yeah, and it's just like, he doesn't get hit. That's what's impressive about him. And in this fight, he got hit a little bit, and then in the eighth round, he was just like, no, I'm going to take this fight over, and he did, so.
Yeah, I mean, there were a couple of rounds where Cotto was dominating as far as the ring movement, but, you know, trying to get Mayweather in the corner. And he had some nice – and here's the thing. I think Cotto – it's hard for me to judge Cotto as a fighter, obviously not being a boxing expert. And the only losses I've seen him was against Manny Pacquiao, yeah. Floyd Mayweather, and a guy with cement in his gloves. So, yeah. Which I don't know how that still counts as a loss. Maybe I'm looking at the record wrong or whatever. Maybe that
– I think they changed it to a no contest.
Okay. But he maybe –
that should just be wiped off the fucking record. That's
yeah,
crazy.
And I think maybe – maybe he fought him some other time and he lost?
No.
Oh, okay. So
he beat him in the rematch.
Oh, okay.
He avenged that.
So that was his only two losses, was yeah. against Mayweather.
He lost to two of the greatest fighters ever. And that brings you to the next thing is Mayweather versus Pacquiao.
Well, now, if we had a poll question, Ryan, that would be an interesting poll question. What do you think is going to happen first? Is college football going to announce a 4-team playoff or possibly more, or is Mayweather going to announce he's going to fight Pacquiao?
Well, it's
going to
be the playoff because that's pretty much a done deal. I think they're meeting.
Well, it sounds like it's a done deal, but it's also it sounds like they're not going to announce it for a long time. Supposedly, this Pacquiao Mayweather thing could be going down in the fall.
Well, so real quick on the college playoff, these fucking coaches, especially the two Big Ten coaches, have come out and say they think the committee should pick the teams. You're out of your fucking mind. Fix the computer system. Put back in margin of victory. A committee is not good for anything. And get rid of the coaches poll. Coaches shouldn't be voting on which teams play in the national championship. They get bonuses based on that.
That's a
conflict of interest. But back to the Mayweather thing.
Yeah, I mean, we could go on forever about college football.
Everyone wants to bet on Pacquiao because they hate Mayweather because,
yeah,
basically because it's a bunch of white dudes.
Our mutual friend Cornell was at some – he was too cool to come over to my house to hang out. He went to this, kind of cool, pseudo –
skinny jeans only?
Yeah, some kind of like hipster party. And he said everyone was rooting for Cotto because they hated Floyd Mayweather. But how can you hate a guy
– well, that's what happens when you're great. People hate you.
Yeah.
And he's also flamboyant.
But he's flamboyant.
Who wouldn't act like that? You've never lost. He's never lost.
But isn't that kind of charming about Mayweather?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the guy. And isn't it a little bit tongue-in-cheek when you have Justin Bieber coming out holding your belts?
That was great.
And he looks – I've never seen a more scared white person than Justin Bieber coming out with those two championship belts. And he's got 50 Cent. In another life, 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather would just be jacking this guy for everything he's worth. But because he's got 5.6 million followers on Twitter, he's all of a sudden – Mayweather knows what he's doing, man. The guy has just kind of this crazy, weird business sense. But isn't that likable about him? I don't know. He is the greatest. He says he's the greatest. But also, you watch that 24/7. He shows signs of vulnerability. He talks about, hey, Roger, his Uncle Roger. I don't know how long these hands can hold up. I don't know. Do you think I can do this forever? He shows... he even admits, yeah, I'm a prize fighter. To me, I guess it's so obvious that he's putting on a show. He realizes I'm an entertainer. People enjoy a show. I'm going out to do a good show. I'm a prize fighter.
And that's the number one thing that pisses me off. Well, so the number one thing that pisses me off.
Do you think it's not interesting to be a humble guy who is playing grab ass with his trainer and sleeping in the same bed? That's not compelling.
No. And thank God Cotto wasn't fighting someone else. That would be that would have been a horrible 24/7.
Here's the thing, Ryan. I think I think the difference between a Floyd Mayweather and a Mike Tyson is Floyd Mayweather is aware, at least, of the system. He's aware that he's promoting himself. He's aware that, hey, I'm putting this out. I'm creating this image. I'm creating this persona. I'm a prize fighter.
I'd at least say he's like
90, Mike Tyson.
He's 90% aware. Mike Tyson was like 20% aware.
Yeah, Mike Tyson, I think, was more a crazy person who got consumed with fame and got put in a weird position, and then when Casamato died, kind of lost his mind for a while. And I think he would say that himself.
What kills me is you get these. I was playing poker about a year ago in Vegas, and the whole table, we started talking about Mayweather, Pacquiao, and all, basically a bunch of white dudes started talking about how they hate Mayweather because of his character. It's like, what, just say you hate him because he's an arrogant black dude. Number two.
Character? Yeah. Of a prize fighter?
Number two, everyone's like, why doesn't Mayweather just give Pacquiao half? For the reason we just talked about, Mayweather—he's
never lost.
Well, and Mayweather's going to draw more people than Pacquiao. Who are they smoking? When I'm going to watch that 24/7, it's not because I want to see Freddie Roach and Pacquiao train. It's because I want to see Mayweather and Team Money. You know?
Yeah, I mean, Mayweather as the promotion, he's undefeated. And yeah, you can say about whatever you want about Pacquiao's losses. He's lost twice, right?
Yeah, a long time ago, but still.
Still, he's lost twice. And you're trying to defeat Mayweather. In my world, if you're undefeated and you're bringing the belts, you're setting the terms. And I think offering Pacquiao $40 million, I think, is a pretty fair...
Well, not to mention, the other thing is the whole, Pacquiao shouldn't have to agree to Mayweather's drug
testing. Floyd Mayweather is setting pay-per-view records fighting Cotto. I mean, just look at the numbers. Compare Floyd Mayweather's numbers versus Cotto, and then compare Pacquiao's numbers versus Cotto. He's setting records every time he has a prize fight.
Well, and the whole drug testing thing, too, is annoying. Because it's like, why are people getting mad at Floyd Mayweather? Because he wants Olympic-style drug testing.
Yeah, you know what a difference 10 pounds makes in boxing? That's a huge difference. And imagine if that's just 10 pounds of steroided mass.
Well, Pacquiao started fighting at like 102 pounds. Now he's 140. I mean, it's not outside the realm of possibility that Pacquiao might take performance-enhancing drugs. But anyway, so the line for that theoretical fight, which I think a lot of people would love to bet Pacquiao. Pacquiao +135, Floyd Mayweather -165.
Ooh-wee.
I will tell you right now, if this fight happens, I'm putting $1,600 on Floyd Mayweather.
Here's what I'm going to do, Ryan. I'm not even taking Floyd Mayweather. I'm taking Floyd Mayweather decision.
Oh, nice.
Because I don't think Pacquiao is going to knock him out, and I think Floyd Mayweather is going to win on the cards. So I think here's the thing.
You probably get +130 for that, +140.
Well, here's what's going to happen. Even Pacquiao starts out at +130. By the time the fight goes off, if you're telling a guy you can get even money on Pacquiao, he's taking it. So that's going to get bet down. I bet you could get +150 decision off of Mayweather when that finally goes down.
That would certainly
Does that sound crazy?
I would probably take that.
Why would you not?
Yeah,
he's not going to knock Pacquiao out. Are you crazy? And they're not going to stop the fight? They'd be rioting in the streets if they stopped the fight.
I will say, that could be one of those situations where Mayweather really tries to finish a fight. Because I think in most situations, he tries to win the fight, not finish it.
Yeah, but dude, I don't know if he has that crazy knockout punch. And Pacquiao is a really good boxer. I don't know. I know he can beat Pacquiao, but I don't know if he can knock Pacquiao out cold.
It's true.
I mean, Pacquiao's only lost twice. It'll be a great fight. And I wouldn't be shocked, obviously, if Pacquiao
won. The last great fight, man.
All right, Ryan, we're kind of up
against.
Well,
there's nothing else to talk about, Sean.
Well, let's NHL.
You want to touch on me picking at 56% in baseball this year?
Sure, you're hitting 50.
That's all there is to talk about.
56% on baseball.
With an average bet of +105, so my break even point's 48.3%. So I'm doing well. I'm on a little cold streak right now, but
yeah, follow the daily MLB.
And actually,
picks.
This weekend I'll be off the grid camping. So if you want to get some solid picks, feel free to follow The Money Plays. Our buddy Steve's going to be throwing out some guest picks.
Oh, Ryan, how dare you? How dare you?
It's all right. He barely touches his Twitter.
Yeah, he's scared. If you want to, if you're scared, get a dog, Steve. Okay. So let's quickly go over the NBA.
All right.
Essentially, I have I'm 6-0 right now in the serious plays.
Unbelievable.
Well, and
too bad you didn't bet real money on that, Sean.
Well, the only series I bet real money on was the Clippers, who fucked up so bad. Game 6. We're taping this right after Game 6 went down. They had a chance. They were down 4 points. And fucking the motherfucker missed 2 free throws. Chris Paul grabs a rebound and then lands out of bounds on a free throw with another guy on the Clippers. Oh, insane. And he also had a solid block that they called a foul.
Yeah,
we're underestimating these refs in Game 7.
I couldn't really tell. I couldn't find the game in English, so I was listening to the Spanish broadcast.
Of course,
on the way
it's Los Angeles.
But they were pretty. They seemed pretty outraged. All I heard was like Pelota and Chris Paul.
I mean, I feel like I don't know. I feel like I can bring some rationality to it, but the calls those refs made were just insane, insanely bad. And the Clippers did not help themselves.
Yeah.
They were just jogging around, playing half-ass.
They looked like the Lakers.
Yeah, they were phoning in. But the thing is, you can phone it in on the road. You can't phone it in at home, game 6. Now you got to go in Memphis for game 7? I got $120 on you pieces of shit. Plus 170.
If they lose, they only have themselves to blame. They didn't protect their home court.
And of course, the Sixers plus 950. Awesome pick.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people picked it, but I had it. Sixers plus 950. Crazy pick. Of course, having no Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, and even in the last game, Luol Deng hurt, really helped.
So,
all right, Ryan, let's.
So, what do you want to start with? You want to start with the game sevens?
Sure. Give me the game seven.
I got no line on the Memphis game, but I'll tell you what it's going to be.
It's going to be Memphis minus 4.
No, it'll be Memphis minus 6.5, like it has been every other game at home. No reason for that.
I'll take Clippers plus 6.5.
They're only 1-2. Or what? Yeah, well, they're 1-2 in Memphis against the spread. So that's what I'm guessing. I would have to imagine Chris Paul comes out and just wills them to win.
He's got to. I mean, he missed a free throw late.
It took a monster game from Marc Gasol and Zach Randolph, who they just haven't.
The Gasols only have a couple of good games in the playoffs.
And then the other game is Lakers minus 5.5 against the Nuggets.
Now here's the thing.
Did you listen to the post-game comments by Kobe Bryant?
Wow, that's weird, because I watched a lot of the game, and I watched some of the post-game comments. I saw Andrew Bynum, who was like, yeah, I didn't get the ball in the fourth quarter. That's
weird. No, he said, I didn't play, so what am I going to do?
I didn't play in the fourth quarter. Yeah, so what am I going to do?
He wasn't in the huddle. He's clearly out of it. Kobe basically said,
he said something about he's happy to get Meta World Peace back.
Yeah,
sorry.
Well, this is what he said. Did your teammates let you down? Yes. Are you happy to get Meta World Peace back? Yes, he's the only guy I can count on to put out 100% effort night in and night out. He called his whole team out.
And as much
as... I don't think that works with Bynum. I don't think calling Bynum out helps him.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if it works or not. That's what you do if you're a veteran player. You got to call a guy out like Bynum. Are you kidding me?
So what do you take?
If you're Kobe Bryant, I would have been screaming and getting in his face, poking him with that finger, going, listen, motherfucker, you're 7'2". You're going to get some points. Listen, Pau Gasol, you're 7 foot.
Yeah.
You can get more than 3 points and 3 boards against the Nuggets.
Who's 6'6". Gasol was being guarded by the Manimal, who is 6'6".
6'6". You got 6 inches on the motherfucker, and you get 3 points?
So,
meanwhile, the Denver Nuggets supposedly, now I find this in poor taste, they dedicated the game to Birdman, who has now been...
allegedly. We don't want to get hit with a libel lawsuit now.
I think Birdman's got other problems.
So did you hear the report? Did you actually read the report?
No, I just...
So he's been excused indefinitely because he's quote-unquote involved in an...
investigation.
An ongoing investigation that involves internet sex crimes with minors. So you're like, all right, that sounds bad, but... It's clearly alleged at this point, right?
Yeah.
They confiscated his computer.
Right.
He's fucked.
Here's the thing, Ryan. As much as I've kind of liked the Birdman story, I enjoyed the Nuggets. I lived in Colorado for 6 years as a kid. I like rooting for them. They're kind of my Western Conference team. I mean, I enjoy the Clippers as well, so I'm kind of blaming both sides there. But as much as I want Birdman, okay, the guy did some blow. You want to forgive that. He came from this really crazy background. I don't know of a lot of stories of internet child porn task forces
that weren't true.
Taking a guy's computer and going, you know what? Big mistake.
Yeah.
It's on us. As much as I want to believe this is not true, I really wanted to believe that it's not true. But, I mean, you think about, okay, maybe the amphetamine use makes sense now because it's like, hey, and then you read all these stories about his mom. They were really close. He came in this crazy poor background. I don't want to speculate too much, but I wouldn't be surprised if it came out like, okay, he's going to write a book. I was a victim of abuse, this and that, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, if those tattoos don't say help.
I mean, between playing professional basketball, between the tattoos, the crazy out-of-control spending, money-wise, the drug use, it seems like Birdman is trying to get away from something. And
yeah. So
And it's a bummer. And you feel bad for George Carlos. Seems like a class act.
Just beat cancer.
Yeah, he just beat cancer. He just – it's a weird thing because they just beat the Lakers game 3, forcing a game 7, this young team. Maybe you got a chance to beat this Laker team. And then you're answering questions about Birdman, and he's just like, yeah, you know, I really respect and trust Chris, and I – hope the thing's not because it's a weird. I mean, how do you don't want to if
it's you can't what, really defend him that hard. You kind of have.
Well,
to say,
yeah, it's like well, wait till
the evidence comes out.
I hope more stuff comes out that's not true. Even his agent goes, "Hey, give Chris time."
Yeah,
because everyone knows when stuff like that. When there's smoke, there's usually fire when it comes to pedophilia.
So then, speaking of poor taste, so the early lines come out. Over under 13.5.
Are we talking about
the age of the children he was looking at?
It's way under.
You think so?
Yeah, because
I was talking about this with some people today. It's like, if this was like 16 or 17, it's like,
Dude, Mark Sanchez, it was dating a 17-year-old in New York. That barely made the headlines.
I mean, that should be pedophilia. Anyway.
Well, no, there is a there. I forget.
Well, it's the law.
I got in this weird argument with someone. We're talking. I don't know how it came up, but it was based on pedophilia, and they were just their thing was that if you were post-pubescent and under age of 18, it was like a different thing versus if you had hit puberty, it was almost a different crime.
I thought you were going to talk about the whole statutory rape, like 19-year-old dating a 17-year-old, which they've kind of changed the rules on after that one, that black kid in Alabama went to jail for like three, who's actually playing for the Jets now, I believe. I believe he's on.
Oh, it's a lot of, him and Mark Sanchez probably hanging out.
Hey man, you want to check PS200 out today?
And Jerry Seinfeld. Jerry Seinfeld quietly got away with statutory rape. No one talks about that. How am I the only one that's weirded out that Jerry Seinfeld was openly dating a 17-year-old while he had a sitcom on NBC?
Yeah.
How does that never come up?
I mean, Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman married his granddaughter.
Step-granddaughter, but still, he raised her.
That's almost creeper.
Anyway. Oh, this is gross.
All right, let's get to the NBA picks, Ryan.
So, Lakers by 5.5.
So here's the argument.
Here's what's happening. I'm going to be off the grid. Won't be able to watch the game. No cell phone, nothing. I can't pick this game. I did something real stupid, Sean. When the Nuggets were down 3-1, pop onto the old website, see what's going on. Nuggets plus 2,000 to win the series.
20-1.
Well, I feel like they can at least make it interesting. So I put $25 on it.
Okay. All right. Well... Okay, but then you have to hedge like your money line, right? Nope. Or no? Just gonna let it roll.
I'm riding Ty Lawson.
So wait, now
ride or die.
I guess I have to do the same, right? I got Clippers, you know, $120 plus 170. I can't really bail out on it now.
Tough
right?
to hedge with a 6.5 because you're gonna have to lay like minus 300.
Yeah, it's not a fun hedge. All right, let's make our picks here, Ryan. I'll take Nuggets. 5.5. But it's just like it really could go either way. It could go the Nuggets come out, they're fun, they're loose, they don't give a fuck, they're playing, doing whatever, lost and it's a couple threes. Yeah, I take plus 5.5 here because I think this could come down to the last bucket. Either way, I still kind of like the Lakers to win just because I feel like Kobe's not going to lose a Game 7 at his house round one. I don't feel like that's going to happen. But do I feel like the Lakers are going to keep it close or Nuggets going to keep it close enough to lay that 5.5 and make it interesting? I say give me that 5.5. It's tough.
Here's the problem.
Lawson does not shoot the same on the road. This is a tough pick.
Bynum is not going to recover. He didn't. He wasn't sitting in the huddle.
Is he a pussy?
He really is. He basically, when they asked him about the game, he basically said, like, well, wasn't my problem.
I wasn't in the game. I don't know.
So I'm going to take. Also going to take the Nuggets here. And in terms of the Memphis game, I feel like me picking the Clippers is just with my heart. I don't like. The more I watch Marc Gasol, the more I hate him. I don't know. Both these games, I'm kind of disappointed I won't be able to watch these games.
I like the dogs in both of these.
Sure,
but
why not?
Well, it's just because I feel like Game 7, it's going to be close. I say the Grizzlies win by 4, and I'm devastated emotionally and physically by that loss.
Yeah.
And as is the same, Lakers win by 3 at home.
I'm going to say the Clippers. I say the team with the best player wins the game. So I'm going to say the Clippers win, and I'm going to say the Lakers win.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense.
But I'll take the dogs to cover, like you said.
All right.
So then over in the Eastern Conference, or I guess it's, no, yeah, over in the Eastern Conference.
Sixers, baby.
We already have our
They're already starting on Saturday. Yeah. That's annoying. Why do they do that?
Well, they start Saturday. So we have our series prices out.
Okay.
So what are the Sixers? So the first one, Celtics, so Sixers are plus 185. Celtics minus 225.
Wow.
What are you saying? Wow, you're going to take the Celtics or wow, you're going to take the Sixers?
I honestly thought Sixers would be like plus 400.
Yeah.
I mean, just because.
I felt the same way.
My pick for the
Celtics team isn't losing to the Sixers in a 7-game series.
My pick for the rack. All right, here's. I'll be a little homer here. And I'll ride the homer, and you guys can kill me on the Twitter, but I'll take the Sixers plus 185. Yeah. But really, this should be like plus 300. This Sixers team plays like dog shit on the road.
Well, they also don't.
And the Celtics are just a much much better version of the Sixers.
They
play good defense and they just shoot better, and their offense is much better. It's a horrible matchup for the Sixers.
I hate to take the Celtics, but I feel like at this point,
I feel like that minus 225. I'm not going to pick both ways because I'm a Sixers fan. I'll ride the plus 185. But if you're not a Sixers fan, I feel like there's a lot of value in that minus 225, Ryan. I don't know what you can speak to this. You hate Philly and Boston.
Well, I don't necessarily hate the Sixers. I was an Iverson fan. They're
tough to hate, really, because it's honestly, just like it's basically just been like Iverson had a good year or two, and Charles Barkley. Look, Philly, how do you really hate it?
Philly and New York are really only rivals in hockey and football. And I'm not even a Rangers fan. I'm a Devils fan. So, look, I'm fine with the Sixers winning. I don't like Boston. I hate Boston. Actually, I don't want the Celtics to win, but at the same time, I can't. I would take Boston minus 225.
Now, all right, so what's game one looking at?
So game one in Boston. See, this is another thing. Why doesn't the NBA reseed? I don't get that.
No idea.
You're penalizing the Heat, basically. All right,
I assumed the Sixers would be playing the Heat.
It's the only sport that doesn't do it. So Celtics are by 5. By 5 points is about right. I'd probably take the Celtics. I mean,
I'll pick Celtics.
I mean,
five.
I guess the only here's the thing: Celtics are old and banged up. That's the only X factor.
But dude, all right, we're talking. Who's going to guard Rajon Rondo?
I agree.
Who's going to stop his penetration? Yeah, Iguodala manned up. But I mean, what are we talking? Iguodala against
no.
Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce. What matchup are the Sixers consistently winning in this series?
I don't know.
And I like the Sixers.
Lou Williams off the bench, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but who hasn't even been shooting great?
Yeah.
Who's been kind of cold?
I think the Sixers rely so much on the drive and dish And that's what the Celtics want you to do, because they're just going to steal the ball. They're going to
they're a slow team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both slow teams. They don't rely – they're not making a lot of points off transition.
I'd probably just take the under in every game.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if you did that against the Bulls, you would be cashing a ton of dough.
We talked about that. It's just like teams that are good at defense and don't
What's
score
the over
that
under?
Easily. Let me pull that up real quick. I'd be surprised.
It's probably like 185.
No. I think it's probably like 178.
All right.
170.
Wow.
Yeah, give me the under. I'll still
take it. I don't think the Sixers score more than 75.
Now, in the strangest matchup of 2-3 seeds in my
So under and the Celtics are picks.
In my lifetime, Pacers and the Heat.
This is weird, man.
Now,
this
the Pacers
is a weird...
are a legit team that really no one's talking about, and the Heat are the Heat, who even in the first round, very inconsistent. The Pacers coach just came out and said the Heat are the biggest flopping team in the league, which couldn't be more true.
I don't know. The Clippers are giving them a run for their money.
Really hard to watch the Heat play.
Play Academy Awards.
Look, you're LeBron James. Don't flop. You don't need to flop.
I know. That's what pisses me off about Blake Griffin. I like Blake Griffin, but come on, man.
Here's
don't
the deal.
Flop.
So what do you think the line in this series is, Sean? Of course, the Heat, home court advantage.
I'd say, wow, well, my first instinct just out of nowhere would be to say Indiana plus 220. But if you're saying the Sixers are only plus 185, I don't know, man. I'm at a loss, really. I'd say plus 200 just because everyone's laying heavy on the
Heat. So you're going to be with me. You're going to be with Charles Barkley in that the Pacers can definitely win this series, I think. I think they have a strong inside presence. And at plus 600...
What? What the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think,
how are the Sixers plus 185 and the Pacers plus 600? Don't you see that as similar matchups? Am I that far off, Ryan?
If anything, I think the Celtics have a better advantage over the Sixers than the Heat over the Pacers. The Heat have no
I would
answer.
Say that I would say the Pacers have a better chance of beating the Heat than the Sixers have of beating the Celtics.
Yeah. I said that the other way.
Yeah,
we agree. We agree.
I would say honestly, Sixers plus 600, Pacers plus 185.
In fact, that's probably gonna be the one bet I.
I'm throwing $100 on the Pacers. I don't.
Why not?
Because just to watch the Heat, man up, LeBron. I'm calling you out.
All right. So then I don't know what else is going on. Of course, if you took the, do you want to keep talking about basketball? That's pretty much it.
What's the over under on, or what's the spreads on that?
It's 8.5. Heat by 8.5.
Oh, give me! They can't cover 8.5.
Yeah. The problem with the Heat is when they win by like 15.
Yeah, that's true.
But
I like this Pacers team.
Over under 189.
Larry Bird hates.
I like the under
LeBron
here.
Secretly.
I like the under.
Really? Okay. What's your logic there?
The Heat play good defense. I think the Pacers are going to be able to do some damage to the Heat because of they're a better than average defensive. They have a lot of long guys that can defend the perimeter, and they have Hibbert inside. I don't know. I'm probably not going to bet on the first game. I'm going to take the Pacers plus 600.
Yeah, really, we should have just stuck with our idea of laying the series prices and not getting sucked into these games. I know that's been killing me.
Although second round, I feel like you get a better idea of what's going on.
That is true. All right, Ryan, I think we hit on everything.
Well, real quick, hockey, if you followed our, of course, your Flyers lost to my Devils.
Yep.
But if you followed our advice and took all the dogs, you'd be sitting at 3-0 right now.
Waiting for the
Capitals, Caps
to come
going
in.
7. So we can talk about real quick the Western Conference Finals.
Okay.
Kings, Coyotes.
We've been riding the Kings, Ryan. We just got to keep riding those guys.
Unfortunately, they're favorites. They're
finally,
now.
They're favoring them.
Yeah. But they seem unstoppable right now.
Oh, well, that's the thing. It's a combination of a hot goalie.
Man.
Richard's playing great.
Minus 170. I still feel like that might be worth taking.
Yeah, it could be.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's pretty... So, what else we got? We got Preakness coming up next week. We can talk about that next week, though.
Yep, Preakness.
I'll pick the second leg of the Triple Crown correctly.
Exactly. Preakness, we'll keep going with the NBA, NHL.
U.S. Open is in, what, 3-4 weeks?
Tiger, looks like he missed another cut. I don't know. I didn't see.
He made
the cut.
He stormed back. He's only 6 back.
Tiger's garbage. It's all over.
Yep.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Sports Gambling Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at @gamblingpodcast. Of course, you can go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, check the show out there, hit up the archive episodes, subscribe on iTunes, and of course, hit up that Amazon link. I am one of the hosts, and my name is Sean, Stacking the Money Green. For my partner in picks, he is Ryan Real Money
Kramer. Oh, man, you tricked me.
Threw you off there a little bit.